Trendstorm.
For our final topic, picked by you, dear listeners, earlier in a poll on our Facebook page, is North Korea, America's next drone war, focusing on the U.S.'s latest military dispatch to the peninsula. The U.S. suddenly deployed its Gray Eagle attack drones to South Korea in its latest saber-rattling against the North, prompting fears that Trump might be considering a strike on the nuclear-armed country. The background of this escalating crisis is North Korea's latest missile test a few weeks ago, which prompted the U.S. to speed up its shipment of the THAAD anti-missile system to South Korea in response. Pyongyang maintains that it has a sovereign right to missile and nuclear test, and observers have noted that these have lately been timed to coincide with joint U.S.-South Korean military drills and other such moves that the North perceives as provocations. On the other hand, Seoul says that the North is a threat which must be countered, hence the THAAD deployment and never-ending cycle of security dilemmas. New U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson also embarked on a three-country tour of Asia to Japan, South Korea, and China, with the Korean crisis obviously figuring high on the speculated agenda. This needs to be kept in mind when analyzing the U.S.'s military moves in Northeast Asia, in order to discern what's intended for long-term deployment and what might be negotiated out of the theater as part of any prospective compromise. It's in view of this perspective that the U.S.'s drone dispatch to the Korean Peninsula must be analyzed. The U.S. has gained a reputation ever since 9/11 for liberally ordering drone strike assassinations against high-value targets, but never before has one been located in East Asia. Whether by coincidence or not, the drone deployment coincided with the Wall Street Journal report that Trump might even be removing himself from the decision-making process by giving the CIA an essential blank check to conduct drone strikes whenever and wherever it sees fit, though this hasn't been confirmed by the White House. How it figures into the larger picture, however, is the drones themselves, say nothing of the Wall Street Journal's unconfirmed report, dramatically spiked the risk that the Gray Eagles aren't just for show. It might be, in fact, used in low-intensity surgical strikes against North Korea, whether ordered by Trump himself or carried out by the deep state, possibly even behind his back. So to help shed some light on what's going on here, we're joined by Dr. A. Soon Oh. He's a senior fellow at Singapore's Nanyang Technological University.
Trendstorm.
Okay, Dr. Oh, what signal is Trump sending by dispatching attack drones to South Korea? Is this for show, or do you think he might actually be contemplating their possible use?
Well, with the U.S. New President Trump, I think it's always a mixture of, for example, show as well as some resolution to perform some action. In this case, for example, this is the first time that the United States is deploying drones in the eastern part of Asia. So the signal, I think, is mean of Korea that, for example, as we all know, drones are typically used to take out very specific targets, and typically these are human targets. So I think the signal is to sort of demonstrate to the North Korean authorities that if the United States and its allies, if they desire to do so, they could indeed take out a very specific target at their disposal. As to whether they will actually do that, I think you have to wait for further developments on the Korean Peninsula here.
Okay, the next thing I'd like to ask you, Doctor, is, you know, we all know how North Korea usually resorts to headline-grabbing reactions to whatever the U.S. does. So what sort of response do you think that they'll give to the attack drone deployment, if anything?
Well, I think, for example, my country, Malaysia, has indeed lived through recently what you term as headline-grabbing sort of reaction. The North Koreans typically, in this sort of situation, they will launch some sort of military exercise or military actions. For example, some missile tests will be likely, some general mobilization of their forces would be very likely. But I think that typically would be sort of taken as stride by both South Korea and the United States. It's not likely to immediately trigger a war on the Korean Peninsula. because, as you mentioned, such headline-grabbing reactions is a very likely reaction from the North Korean side. Yeah.
We're joined by Dr. A. Soon Oh. He's a senior fellow at Singapore's Nanyang Technological University.
Trendstorm.
Okay, the next thing I'd like to ask you, is about how this figures into U.S.-Chinese relations, because we know that Mr. Rex Tillerson right now, he's on his first ever trip to Asia, and will also take him to Beijing. So how much of a priority do you think that the North Korean issue will have during their upcoming discussions, and what can we expect from the talks?
Well, I think, number one, Mr. Tillerson's visit to Asia in general and China specifically is sort of to lay a groundwork for the U.S. Sort of Asia policy, and more specifically China policy, because now that we have President Trump for almost 2 months, but a sort of coherent, comprehensive U.S. policy on Asia in general, but China specifically, is yet to be seen. I think the discussion between Mr. Tillerson and his China counterpart will be quite comprehensive, such as trade, but also the strategic issues. And among the most important strategic issues, a very prioritized strategic issue would indeed be North Korea. China, as you know, is not very pleased, just like Russia also is not very pleased with the U.S. deployment of the THAAD missile defense system on the Korean Peninsula. Is there a way out from that? I think would also be a point for discussion for their meetings. Yeah.
Okay, and the last thing that I'd like to talk about now is China's possible response to all this. You know, we discussed how North Korea might react to the attack drones. We see that China has been responding to THAAD with de facto sanctions against some South Korean companies. They're not stated, but this is what they amount to. So do you think that could continue to respond to South Korea if these drones remain in the peninsula? And if so, how?
Well, China reacted very strongly to the deployment of the THAAD missile defense system on the Korean Peninsula, to the extent that it is sort of tacitly encouraging many sectors in China to sort of put their economic ties with Korea, South Korea, on hold. But I think paradoxically, the deployment of drones by the United States on Korean Peninsula, it might not, number one, draw such a strong reaction, a similarly strong reaction from China. And number two, it may indeed come as a relief for many parties concerned with North Korea, I mean, including China and South Korea, because these drones, I mean, they can be deployed for specific targets in North Korea and so on, but it's very unlikely that it's going to be deployed against China. And I think China knows that. In a sense, I think China would also be relieved that this sort of deployment would keep the North Korean regime on their toes, because China traditionally, although it enjoys a lot of very special relations with North Korea, but I think in recent years, the North Korean leadership, they have gone pretty much their own way. So, and creating a lot of troubles, not only for the United States and South Korea, but also for China. So the deployment of a very specific targeted weapon system against the North Korean regime is not necessarily in China's best interest. Yeah.
Okay, Doctor, thank you very much for sharing that with us. That was very insightful, and I think that was pretty deep. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for having me on your show. Thank you.
Now, just to help round everything up, we're joined by Mr. Wan Ahmed Faisal. He's a Malaysian political commentator.
Trendstorm.
Okay, Wan, what do you think the U.S. has in mind by deploying attack drones to South Korea, and how does this figure into its larger strategy against the North?
I'm quite surprised to know recently, I mean 2 days ago, the news about the U.S. will deploy the Grey Eagle drone in South Korea to countermeasure the North Korean aggression. It is something that never been foreseen before by the security analysts in our region. This is a game changer, I would say. No, we never was, because under President Trump, we are quite, as the Asian observers, are very much still uncertain with some defense policy in our region. This could be a game changer, I would say, in the sense that it's no longer a saber-rattling kind of exercise, because we all know in South China Sea skirmish, the U.S. could not deploy any drones nearby. Yeah, because China has done a lot of groundwork in containing the area defense of China in the region. But in South Korea, things are quite fertile for U.S. to, I would say, deploy not only the Grey Eagles, but also the TAAD.
Okay, yeah, I have this pretty interesting observation, Juan. If I can ask you to expand on that, it sounds like you're saying that the U.S. cannot deploy drones to the South China Sea because of the geopolitical situation there, but they can put it in South Korea using North Korea as the excuse, but maybe these drones could see action in the East China Sea or maybe even as far south as the South China Sea from South Korea. What do you think about those prospects?
Yeah, I mean, I always view whatever conflict in East Asia as a continuation of part of this strategy of containment against China and Russia on the Eastern Front. Yeah? So with the, if you were to read the news about the death of Kim Jong-nam, the stepbrother of the Kim Jong-un in Malaysia, it was a botched operation. And I think this is one of the pretexts that create the condition for the drones to be deployed there, and also TCAD, one of these. They need to find reason why and how to put their defense system in South Korea to counter China.
Yeah, these are some pretty deep and profound thoughts, Juan. The next thing I want to ask you about is, how do you assess the likelihood that the U.S. could actually use these attack drones against North Korea in low-intensity surgical strikes? And the reason I ask this is because, I mean, the U.S. occasionally used to bomb nuclear in Pakistan with drones and got away with it. But could they bomb North Korea and get away with it too?
I don't think so, because I don't think the ASEAN neighbors, the East Asian countries like Japan or even China would never, I think China would do their best to limit this exposure, not for the sake of defending North Korean aggression, but I think to maintain peace and stability in the region, because once the drones being used to perform surgical strike, even low-level kind of surgical strike against North Korea, I think it would set a very bad precedent for having a drone warfare in East Asian region.
Yeah, that could definitely be pretty dangerous. I mean, we see that these drones have obviously led to a noticeable escalation of the tensions in the situation in Northeast Asia. And we know that China has now said they might try to counter THAAD, you know, which is also related deployment released around this time with possibly anti-radar technology. Do you think that some of China's anti-THAAD moves and technology could also be used for neutralizing the threat posed by these attack drones?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We all know how China has mastered cyber espionage, stealing U.S. state secrets, especially the military technologies from their contractors. And I'm not surprised if they could jam or even at least derail the deployment of these Grey Eagles drone in South Korea.
Okay, the other thing I want to ask you then, Juan, since we're on this topic, is, you know, new Secretary of State Rex Tillerson is on his first ever Asian tour. He'll likely discuss this North Korean issue with his Japanese, South Korean, and Chinese counterparts. What hopes do you have that these talks could lead to something constructive when it comes to North Korea?
Yeah, I think it's quite an interesting strategy used by the State Department, in the sense that they are trying to consolidate support from the East Asian countries before they unilaterally decide in deploying all these drones or even TAAD. They want to make sure that, I think this is my view, Rex Tillerson wants to ensure that whatever actions taken by the U.S. are actually consented by East Asian countries who have interest also in the security challenges, namely Japan and South Korea. Although he said that he will engage China, but from the State Department spokesman, I read the statement today, they only mentioned when they use the word we, they are referring to the U.S., South Korea, and also Japan, the traditional allies. Yeah? So China, despite being engaged, is not considered as part of the, well, I would say, the coalition in countering North Korean aggression.
Okay, so the last thing that I want to ask you then, Juan, since, you know, we're talking about this, just to follow up, is do you think that maybe Rex Tillerson's visit signals a de-escalation and that the crisis point has already been reached and passed when it comes to this Korean crisis?
Yeah, I think so. By showing, well, not only Rex Tillerson being there, but also one of the U.S. aircraft carriers, also, I think Carl Vinson, USS Carl Vinson, also is already nearby the East Asian region. And this show, of course, I would say, would definitely rattle North Korean bravado a bit. I would say so, because they do not want to go into a war with any of the neighbors. I think they just want to preserve their sovereignty. They want to ensure that the region is free from any coercion and threatening actions by foreign powers. And I think let the East Asians solve their own problem. They have their own way of resolving things. Yes, they are cynic people. They are cynical people. They know how, they have their own order of resolving conflict. So I hope Rex Tillerson is not going to, I would say, create more tension by making unnecessary statements, enough for I would say, garner support from Japan and also from South Korea to just give North Korea a little bit of apprehended warning, right? Rather than bravado kind of action, unwarranted for a state secretary like Rex Tillerson.
Okay, Juan, thank you. I think that those were some pretty interesting ideas you brought up, especially about possible drone deployments in the East and South China Sea. Thanks for sharing that with us.
Trendstorm.
So, guys, if we bring together what both of our guests spoke about, we see that they do have somewhat different perspectives on things. I mean, Juan believes that this is aimed against China, whereas Dr. Oh believes that this is mostly posturing and muscle flexing won't really be used in battle or any real practical extent, but both do agree that this needs to be looked at. This is very startling, this is unprecedented, and is definitely destabilizing. So guys, if you want to sound off and share what you think about this, please send us an email at radio@sputniknews.com or find us on Facebook. And with this, we end this week's edition of Trendstorm, brought to you by Radio Sputnik. It was presented by me, Andrew Krepko. Thank you for listening, and take care.